take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter number 24. Isaiah chapter number 24. I will ask us on purpose to give very special attention to the sermon today. Young people, I want you to pay attention. I don't want you to talk out of order. Isaiah chapter number 24, if you would. Once you find Isaiah 24, look at verse number 12. Then please stand with me for a moment. We'll stand out of reverence to the Word of God. I'm going to read, starting in Isaiah chapter 24 with verse number 12. We're going to read down to verse number 15, and listen real carefully now. Isaiah chapter 24, starting with verse 12, the Bible says this: "In the city is left desolation, and the gate is smitten with destruction. When thus it shall be in the midst of the land among the people, there shall be as the shaking of an olive tree, as the gleaning grapes when the vintage is done. They shall lift up their voice, they shall sing for the majesty of the Lord, they shall cry aloud from the sea. Wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the fires." And that is my sermon today. I want to talk to us about fires that glorify. Fires that glorify. We've had such a wonderful time so far this morning. We've laughed, we've smiled, and we've sang. But don't let that laughter and those smiles fool you. Behind many of these hearts, or behind many of these happy faces, are broken hearts and people that have been through difficult times. This morning, if you came to church to be helped, I think I'll help you. I want to talk about the fires of life. I call the sermon Fire That Glorifies. And let's pray. Father, please minimize the interruptions. Help none of us to be out of place with our behavior, but help all of us to be concerned that the sermon is received and heard without interruption. Holy Ghost of God, I'm asking that this service bring glory to Jesus. And the only way that's going to happen, Spirit, is that you make sure it happens. May the hearers listen in thy Spirit. May I preach in thy Spirit. May Jesus be glorified. Bless us now with thy presence. Help us to help someone today. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the Bible, fire is referred to in many, many different ways. In Revelation chapter 8, verse number 7, it mentions judgment fire. In Zechariah chapter 2, verse number 5, it talks about a protecting fire. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13, 14, and 15, it talks about fire that is a revealing fire. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 27 through verse 35, it talks about passions fire. In James chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, it talks about tongues that are critical, or tongues of fire. In Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 14, it talks about preaching that seems to have fire in it. In Jeremiah 23:29, it talks about the Word of God being a word of fire. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 14, it speaks in the last days that one day we'll look into the eyes of God, and God's eyes will be eyes of fire. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, it mentions the lake of fire. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 7, it talks about the fire that seems to come when we're persecuted. But today, I want us to see fire as the trials of life, because that is one of the references to fire in the Bible. When we go through hardships, difficulties in life, we call them the fires of life. Today, we see fire, or the fires of life, as our heavy burdens. Today, we'll see those fires of life as the heartaches of life. Today, we'll see the fires of life as the persecutions that we might go through in life. Today, we'll see the fires of life as the valleys that we must walk through. Today, maybe we could glance at the fires as some attack that has come upon us as Christians. Today, let's glance at the fires of life as the severe challenges that we face on this earth. Everybody goes through times of fire. All ages people go through times of fire. And the command that is given in Isaiah chapter 24, verse 15, it's to all of us. And we are told in the text verse today that we are to glorify God in the fires. In other words, there is an expected behavior of you and I as we go through difficulties. Our behavior in the fire should bring honor to our God. Are you glorifying God in your fire? You say, preacher, I've been just so busy being in the fire, I've not even given any consideration to it. Could I tell you, the reason the fire's there is that He would get the glory. You might have thought it was all about you. I'd recalculate your thinking. Your life's not all about you. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. You see, the Bible does not say that we are to merely survive the fire. No, but we're to glorify God in the fire. Lift Him up in the fire. I think you need to lift God up to God. I think in the fire we're to lift Him up to ourselves. I think in the fire we're to lift Him up to maybe others that are in the fire. We lift Him up to others that are not in the fire right now. But let me tell you, there's somebody else going through something and they're going to watch you and they could figure out from your behavior how they ought to go through their trial. Now, there's somebody that's going to go through a trial someday. And they're not going through it right now, but they're watching how you're going through your trial to determine how they're going to behave when their trial comes upon them in days to come. I think we're to lift Him up or glorify Him in our trial, even to the lost and to the saved. I'm glad that when I was a young Christian, it was taught to me that when you go through difficulties, God's watching and people are watching. Go through those difficulties with spiritual dignity. And I've always wanted to survive the fires. I want when I go through the difficulties of life, I want someone to say, you know what? He didn't waver on what he believes. He didn't waver. He's not a bitter man. He's not an angry man. He's not a hateful man. He went through the fire and he did it in the way God would be glorified. And we all go through fires. Let me very simply talk to you today about this subject. Fire that glorifies. Now, may I say, number one, to glorify Him in the fires, one must have entered the fires. Isaiah 24:15, it said, wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the fires, in the fires. This seems apparent, but I think it needs emphasized. There is a glorification that God desires that can only be achieved in the fires. If I said to everybody in here, would you like to glorify God? I think everybody here, even the casual church attender, would say, yeah, I'd like to glorify God with my life. Well, evidently, there is a glorification that God desires that can only be achieved in the fires. And there is a glorification that God deserves that can only be achieved in the fires. In other words, no fires, no glory in certain situations. And we must enter the fires of life if we will glorify our great God. You know what I think? I think God kind of wants the world to look at you and I and the world to say, wow, their God really is something. Look what they're going through, but look at that their behavior. If you and I act like the world when we're going through the fires, what admiration is there to Jesus from the world for that? Glorifying God is not just achieved by singing. Y'all know the song, glory, 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 somebody touch me. And I know you're thinking, Pastor, you're touched. We sing the song, somebody touch me, and then they go to the verse, it was on a Monday, somebody touch me, it was on a Monday, somebody touch me. But some of you think, well, I sang that song, God's getting glory. I'm sorry, life is a little more complicated than that. You see, you can't escape most fires anyway. Why not glorify Him in the fire that you're going to have to go through anyway? If you see the fires of life approaching, let me tell you what you need to do. You need to determine by God's grace you will glorify Him when it hits. Remember, there is a glorification that only comes in the fire. And if you and I sincerely love God and we say, I want God to receive all the glory from my life, God would turn around and say, one of the ways I'm glorified is through the fires of life. And if you really mean it, that you want me glorified, then you'll have to get in the fire. If you want me to be glorified, God's glory is more important than our comfort. God's glory is a part of God's will, which means the fire is a part of God's will for our life. If you're saying, preacher, I don't think I brought this on, what I'm going through. I was doing good. I was doing right. I was being a good boy. I still got hit. I don't think all fires are because we did something bad. I think sometimes God says, I want glorified. I'd like to be glorified by you. Buckle in, bud. And it happens to him, and he says, What? God said, this isn't all about you. It's all about me. So, number one, I know it's obvious, to glorify him in the fire, one must have entered into the fire. Number two, to pass through the fire, we must have entered into the fire. Now, you do understand our goal is not to go in and stay in. I learned a long time ago. Now, you can roast your marshmallows the way you want to roast your marshmallows. When I roast my marshmallow, I like to catch them on fire, to be honest. I like my marshmallow to catch on fire, then I blow it out real quick. And that's the right way to roast a marshmallow. But you don't want it to stay in the fire. That's a wrong way to roast a marshmallow. Well, look, when you and I go into the fire, we're going in. But I don't know about you, but I'm coming out. Isaiah 43, verse 2, it says, when thou passest through the fires, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Now, if God's going to get glorified, I'm going to end up in a fire, but I don't want to stay in the fire. I want to pass through the fire. Now, pass through, in case you're wondering, means exit. Vamoose. Stage right. We enter to glorify, then we get out as soon as we've done what we were called on to do. Passing through signifies that the fire didn't destroy us. Amen. As a child of God, if we believe, if we behave in the fire as He instructs, we're non-combustible. As a child of God, if we behave in the fire as He instructs, we have fireproof clothing on ourselves spiritually for protection. Notice here, Isaiah 43 verse 2, it speaks of our walking through the fire. And I gotta tell you, I think every word in the Bible is there on purpose. And there it said, when thou passest through the water, it says, when thou walkest through the fire, it said walk. Have you ever seen one of those people that walk on hot coals? Now, if they said to me, take your shoes and socks off and you're going to walk on the hot coals, I ain't walking. If I'm doing it, I'm running. I'm running and jumping. I'm trying to get over as many as I can, as fast as I can. I'm very sorry. Sometimes the fires that you and I have to go through in life, we can't run through. Okay, God, I'll glorify you as long as I can run through. Okay, I'm done. Smell like smoke. But listen. It said, sometimes you're going to walk through. You say, preacher, my burden seems long term. I'm sorry. There are people in here, if I could solve your problem today, I would. But I can't. And every once in a while, the fire is one through which we must walk. We're going to walk through it. Say, when will it end? I'm not trying to be morbid. I'm not trying to be negative at all. Some of you will carry certain burdens until the day you're transferred to heaven. But to pass through the fire, we had to enter that fire. And you can pass through. You can pass through. Job did. He passed through that fire. Hey, let me tell you something. For some of you, you can pass through just like you have before. You know, sometimes the burdens hit us and we say, oh, can I make it? Can I take it? Let me remind you, you said that, remember, a year or two ago when you faced a big burden, you wondered, can I live through this? You did. You did. You can pass through it like Job did, and you can pass through it like you did in times going by. My wife has a lesson that she teaches ladies. It's just fantastic. It's entitled, Looking Forward to Looking Backward. She said, there are times in my life when I'm facing a heartache that is destroying me in my heart. And she say, I always tell myself I'll be looking forward to looking back on that thing. In other words, I'm passing through and I can't wait till I see this burden in my rearview mirror. Hey, remember, you must enter in to pass through. Jesus entered into the fires of the crucifixion and a death, but he passed through to a glorious resurrection. And that's what we have available to us. So, to glorify him, I've got to get in the fire. Then, if I'm going to pass through, I had to enter in, but it's my plan to pass through. Thirdly, realize it's not abnormal for God's people to have fiery trials. It's not abnormal. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 12 says, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. The fires are a normal part of the Christian life. Notice in that verse, it used the word strange twice. That word strange means that it's kind of unexpected, a kind of maybe a little uncalculated, if you will. Listen, you're not the first Christian to face a fire. And you won't be the last. But we're to have a right attitude when we go through that fire. Hey, Noah faced the fires when the world was flooded. Elijah faced the fires of political attack and government leader that was out to destroy and kill him. Moses faced the fires of leading masses of people through a wilderness. Paul faced the fire of liberal religious leaders of his day. Do you know that John faced the fire? He got boiled alive in oil and banned to an isle called Patmos. In 1 Peter 4:12 it says, Think it not strange. Let me advise you. Do you sit around thinking that your burden or heartache seems unfair or strange or weird or seems abnormal? Seems like you're asked to bear something unlike anyone before. God said, stop thinking that way. Don't think of your fire as strange. You know, many someones have faced maybe your same fiery trial. Boy, if nothing else. Worse. And you all hear me say this, and I like saying it, and I'm going to keep saying it. You say, well, this couldn't get worse, Pastor. Shh, don't say that. God could prove you wrong immediately. It could get worse. Don't let the devil convince you that this burden that's upon you is strange. And we're not talking about strange like your next door neighbor strange. Everybody's got at least one next door neighbor that you're saying, yeah, there ain't something right there. You can tell by looking at the eyes. Nah. When it talks about strange, it seems strange to you. It seems like it's not what you expected. There's just something about this. You know, the devil's always playing with our emotions and our calculations. Let me tell you something. If a burden has come upon us, it's not strange to God. He knows what he's doing. Are you a new Christian and you thought, well, now that I'm saved, I'm not going to have any more burdens? Now, you young Christians that just got saved, you look up here at your pastor and let me tell you something. You watch some of the wackos on television and they'll tell you, now that you got Jesus, all your burdens are going to go away. They're lying to you. You say, but preacher, where's the benefit? Now that you're saved, you have a Jesus to help you get through the burdens. Everybody's going to face burdens. And so, is the fiery trial you face not the one you expected? I don't know about you, but I did not fill out a burden request when I was young and said, okay, God, the following five are the ones I'll accept. Get with me over the next 40 years and shoot it my way. I'm ready. You say, well, what came upon me? I didn't see it coming. Boy, is that not the truth. Think about it. Some of you that have been devastated, you're going, whoa, that's not the one I thought I was going to get. Matter of fact, that's not the one I wanted. I don't like eggplant. It's the only thing I know of that I have eaten that I don't like. You know, if the devil wanted to be really mean to me, he would tell me that I have to eat eggplant for 3 weeks in a row to stay alive, and I'd feel like I was going through Hades. But you know what? I've never had to carry the burden of eggplant. The fiery trial of eggplant has not come upon me. But I would have been ready had it come, because I knew what I didn't like and I knew what I didn't want to go through. But everybody here, I'm going to tell you, most of you that have had a major heartache or a burden, it came on you and you went, whoa! I wasn't expecting that. That's not the burden I wanted. Oh, that's not the one I was prepared for. Look, has it come to you at a strange time? In a strange way. But let me just assure you, trials are not abnormal for Christians. And to God, none of them are strange. He knows what He's doing. So I got to get in the fire if I'm going to go through the fire. And it might help me to recognize everybody goes through the fires. And number four, get this now. Behavior in the fire helps God to determine if you will be used by God. Behavior in the fire helps God to determine if He's going to use you. Isaiah chapter 48, verse number 10, it says, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I've chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. God said, I picked a burden for you. I wanted to see how you did with that burden. And based on your behavior with that burden, it will determine what I can do with you after the burden, whether or not you'll be used or not. Now, do you want to be used of God? I do. Answer that question to yourself. Do you want God to use you? See, we enter the fire. We glorify Him in the fire. We're passing through the fire. Now we're guarding our attitude and how we behave in the fire. Why? Because God's watching to see if He can use us. And the fire is a part of the qualification to be used in a greater way by God. Your behavior in the fire kind of goes on your spiritual resume. Your time in the fire is building your reputation with God or destroying it. You ever watch someone go through a fire and they kept their faith in God and they kept saying God's good and they kept believing God knew what He was doing? And you said, wow, they're good with God and God's good with them. Then you've seen somebody else go through the fire and they get bitter and angry. They stop going to church and they stop having a right attitude, and you're thinking, oh my, what are they thinking? You see, your time in the fire is proving you to God. I might say this also. Your time in the fire is proving you to you, and your time in the fire is proving you to others. The ability to handle affliction proves your ability to handle leadership. Your ability to handle affliction proves your ability to handle power. Your ability to handle affliction proves your ability to handle people. Your ability to handle affliction proves your ability to handle influence. Your ability to handle affliction proves your ability to handle pressure. Your ability to handle affliction, it proves your ability to handle success. You name one great person that was used in the Bible that did not go through the furnace to get there. The people you admire from the Bible went through the way of the college of affliction to get to the graduation of success and great use by God. Your fire is preparation and it's proving time. David faced the fire of a Goliath and proved to be qualified to be a king.
Moses faced the fire of living in obscurity on the backside of a desert so he could prove to God that he could lead millions of people and face a world dictatorial, hateful leader and part the Red Sea and call fire down from a sky and cause water to come from a rock. But God had to find out, does this man have what it takes to go through a tough time? I'm not going to give him supernatural power if he can't handle a little physical affliction. And so, behavior in the fire helps God to determine if you could be used. And for some of you, that doesn't matter. Because you don't care whether you're used of God or not. But let me make something real clear to you. You were not put on the face of this earth for you or for anybody else. You are created by Almighty God for a specific spiritual purpose. And your passion in life ought to be to find that purpose. And everything that comes in your life is always you out to please your Creator and your God and fulfilling the purpose for which you were created. But let me say, number one, we go in the fire. Number two, we want to pass through the fire. Number three, it's not abnormal to have fire in life. Number four, it is in the fire that our potential and our usefulness to God is proven and developed. Number five, you must be in the fire for the sake of purification of life. The fire purifies. Psalm chapter 12, verse number 6, it says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. You purify silver's value by going through a furnace of fire. The scripture says the same thing about gold. You know, the value of a man's service to God is increased by going through the fires of life. Hey, Job said this in Job 23:10. He said, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You know what Job was saying? Job said, as I go through this affliction, I'm going in the fire. I'm going to face the fire. I'm going to have to set in the fire for a little while. But when I come out, I want to be pure gold. In other words, Job said, I was a Christian going in. I'll be a Christian coming out. But I want to be of a higher value when I come out than when I went in. In other words, the fire wasn't there to destroy a Job. It was to purify and qualify and increase what God could do with Job. He said the words in Job 23:10. He said, I'm going to come forth. That means he's coming out. He's coming out of the fire. God's word is perfect. And do you know that he said that that perfecting process was accomplished through fire? God purified His Word. Through what? Fire. Isaiah 48:10, it says, I have refined thee in the furnace of affliction. Do you know that the man by the name Joseph in the Bible was refined in Potiphar's prison so he could become a national leader and save his entire family, country, and basically the entire world? What happened? Persecution came. Hey, what impurity is God trying to burn out of your life? Listen, sometimes the fires come, and when they come, God is trying to help us to take something out of our life that hurts us. But even worse than that, hurts Him. Hurts Him. You must be in the fire because the fire is a part of the purification of a Christian. I've got to hurry. Let me say this, number six. Hey, be willing, but not wanting, to be in the fire. Be willing, but not wanting. Daniel 3:16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I used to preach a sermon called Cat Rack, Coat Rack, Hat Rack, and Under the Bed We Go. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee this matter. The story is, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, there was a king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar, and he wanted them to fall down and worship a false god. They were told if they did not worship that false god, they would be thrown into a burning fiery furnace. And they said to him, now we're not all freaked out about giving you this answer. They said, we've thought through this thing of being put into the burning fiery furnace. They said, we are willing if we must. They were not asking to be put in the fire, but they had decided if they must go in, they were going to go in with a good attitude. They faced the fire for taking a stand. They were willing to die in the fire if they needed to die in the fire. Now Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't say, please, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, throw us in the furnace. They said, okay, you said we may have to go in the fire. Okay, if we have to go in the fire, we'll go in the fire. It's not that we want to go in the fire, but we'll go in the fire if it's necessary. They were willing. Now, folks, I don't think it's wise for either you or me to go to God and say, bring the fire. God, just bring the fire. I want to be the modern day Job. If you want to be Job, you go ahead and be Job. I don't want to be Job. Pick somebody else. Let me be somebody else. I don't want to be Job. Oh, but if God wants you to face it, why don't you say, but God, if that's your will, fine, I'll do it. I'll face what I must face. So we ought to be willing, but not wanting to go through the fire. All will face the fire. Do you know something? Do you know that if you live for the devil, you're going to go through fire in life? It's going to be nasty. Real bad. I had someone tell me this week, I said, thank you so much for your service to the Lord. They said, preacher, I gave some years of my life to the devil. I am so embarrassed that I did. I plan to serve Jesus with the rest of my life. I'd rather sacrifice for Jesus than sacrifice for the devil. And everybody here, you're going through fires. You pick which one. You want to go through the fires that are self-inflicted by the devil's way of living and tear your life to shreds? Or do you want to go through a fire or two that is brought through and past the desk of Almighty God who loves you, that will protect you, and He's not trying to destroy you? You pick. So be willing to go through fire. But not trying to put myself in that situation. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't ask for it, but they said, neither will we run from it when it comes, and we'll behave right when it does come. My last point, and I wish I had another 30 minutes, I don't. My last point is this. In the fire, so you know, you're not there alone. You're not there alone. Jesus is in the fire. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 25, it says, and he answered and said, lo, I see four men loosed, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. This is a story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They did end up going into the fire. They were thrown into a furnace. And the king and all his cronies are on the outside of the furnace. They look in and say, didn't we throw three guys into the furnace? They said, yeah, there's Shadrach, there's Meshach, there's Abednego. Who's the fourth? And someone said, looks to me like it's God's Son. He, Jesus, was a very present help at the moment of the fire. It was God's Son. You see, He's right with you in the fire, waiting for you to glorify Him. He's right beside you as, oh, by the way, if you're misbehaving in the fire, He's right there putting up with that too. If you become hateful because of the fire, He's there to watch you. If you become vengeful because of the fire, He's watching. If you become bitter, if you try to quit on God, He's watching how you behave in the fire. But He's there to strengthen you. I got to tell you this, and I hope all of you, I just wish I had so much time to say so many things, but I got to tell you something about this story that occurred to me this morning. Nobody saw Jesus until someone stepped in the fire. Those three boys got in that fire and someone said, whoa, somebody else just appeared. Wow. Before the furnace, after the furnace, no seeing Jesus. In the fire, He was there. There are some young men, young ladies in here. You say, I want to be used of God. And I want you to be. Well, I will make you a promise. And there are some other veteran Christians in here that would tell you this. Some of the most special, powerful times of their life with God was in a fire. In a devastating occurrence, in a heartache in life. They would tell you.
I'll tell you where I got close to Jesus. This one day I was going through this thing and God made himself so real to me. Hey, you say, I'm going through a fire right now and it's overwhelming and I feel like I'm just being scorched by the devil. Take a good look around. Because I'm going to make you a promise. Jesus is somewhere nearby. He's wanting to get close to you. He has not forsaken you. He will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But this was a powerful showing of Jesus in the Old Testament. You understand what they said? It looks like the Son of God. You know, Jesus didn't come on the scene physically until the New Testament era. But somebody said, looks like the Son of God. He showed up early. For who? Somebody on the mountaintop? No. Somebody that's had smooth sailing? No. Where were they? In the fire. I don't think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, throw me in the fire. I want to go in the fire. Let's go in the fire. But I will guarantee you, once they got in the fire, and the people on the outside looked in and said, looks like the Son of God. I'll promise you, the three guys on the inside said, it don't look like this is him. I believe there was probably some high-fiving going on. Did you see what happened? I think they come out of there and said, did you see that? That was God. He was in the presence of His Son. He was right in the fire with us. Wasn't there before. Wasn't there after. Now, we know He was there, but He showed Himself in the fire. Are you in the fire? Look around. Because you'll find Him somewhere in that silence, tucked away, just keeping an eye on you, in the fire. You say, why? Well, the fire's not really all about you. It's all about Him. Listen, He came to the fire to get the glory, which was the purpose of the fire in the first place. Make sure He gets it. Hey, if you're not saved, let me explain. You need to get born again because there is a fire called the fire of hell. If you don't get saved, you'll go to hell. You say, you trying to scare me? No. No. But I think you should be scared to go to hell. It's a bad place. You trust Jesus as your Savior. He'll take you to heaven when you die. If you don't, you'll go to hell. And you'll face the fire for all eternity. The sermon today was specifically to the Christian. But to the lost. Fire. It's real. It's not a figment of some spiritual imagination in regard to its reference to hell. No, it's real fire. It's a real place. But saved people don't go there.